Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who are some people?
I've seen theories on, like, Pro Football Talk, other stuff.
Oh, no, I don't know nothing about that.
So there hasn't been, like, an
agreement? I don't know nothing about what's going on.
Well, I gotta ask the guy.
I don't know. This is the first of me, you know, hearing this.
Are you paying attention to all that, or are you in kind of constant?
No. I don't care about what anybody else think or whatever we got going on. We together here. It's like, you know, we talk amongst each other. That's it, you know. In-house stays in-house. You know, you don't go outside of that. So if somebody else had any type of information, it has to be false.
Julio Jones going in, back and forth yesterday, talking to the media about, you know, some of the rumors regarding his contract and about whether or not, you know, the fact he's not out there has anything to do with this. And Julio's like, who are some people talking about this? Because, again, I think it's a little bit of stir in the pot here. I wouldn't worry about this at all. If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, it's going to be fine. Welcome back to our coverage of the 2019 AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp. And Julio making some news today, talking about the 3,000 yard mark yesterday with D-Led. Saying that he might just, who knows, he might go crazy this year and get to 3,000 yards receiving. I mean, that would be insane, you.
Wait a minute. He said he don't know. He just might do that.
Yeah,
is that what he was
just,
like?
Yeah, let's see if I get the exact quote. He said, I'm going crazy. I've been doing everything I need to do. I'm taking care of my body physically and mentally. I'm going to be ready to go. I'm not ever going to lie to you. I'm going to go crazy this year. And then D-Led said, you mean like 2,000 yards crazy? And Julio went on and said, well, I'm not a prediction type guy, but I might mess around and go 3,000 if you know what I'm talking about. And he said it according to D-Led with a straight face. Now, 3,000 yards.
No, I believe.
Is, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but since nobody in the history of the NFL, no wide receivers even gotten to 2,000 yards, then 3,000 might be a little bit much.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably why he put it out the stratosphere. I mean, but you know, it's something to talk about. Julio Jones, since I've been here, I've talked to him on a couple occasions. And up until this point, he's never given me a reason. Only one time that I ever questioned Julio Jones, and that's when he didn't say a whole lot years ago. And something he said, something to the effect of, you know, I can't wait to play against Julio or something he said. And Julio was like, man, I'm not all about that talking. I'm out there about to do that work. He about that action. And he was out there and he was about that action. And ever since then, any other time that I talked to Julio and he said something, I tend to believe him. Even when he told me about the fact that, you know, he don't need to work with Matt that much because he's been working with him this long and all this other stuff. He went out there and he did it. So Julio's one of those guys, man. It's not so much – he ain't about all that mouth action. He ain't about all that chirping. He's about that action on the field. And he's gone out there and he's proven it time and time again since I've been here.
Well, if you're wondering, the all-time record for a receiver for 1 year was set by Megatron. Back in 2012, Calvin Johnson with the Detroit Lions, 1,964 yards. So, again, nobody's gotten to 2,000 yards. Julio, back in 2015, 1,871. That's the second most ever by a wide receiver. And for Julio last year, you know, with all the discussion about, you know, him missing a day of training camp and whatnot, last year put up 1,677 yards, led the NFL, and that's the 12th highest total in the history of the NFL for a single season. So, again, this is why I don't put – when it comes to number 11, man, the guy's a lock Hall of Famer. I still think no matter what they talk about with Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins, I still think Julio's the number one, or Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham or anybody else. Hugh, I think Julio's the number one wide receiver in the NFL to this degree, and it's not just me being a Falcons fan. Would you trade Julio Jones right now today straight up for any other wide receiver in the NFL?
No, but I'm here. You know, I'm here every day, and I get to see him every day. And I don't really, you know, I know about other guys. But it's not the same. You know, I'm talking about everything that is Julio. I'm not just talking about what he does on the field. I'm talking about his work ethic when he's out there working with his teammates, the type of guy that he is in the locker room, the type of guy that he's been since he's been an Atlanta Falcon. I'm talking about all that. I wouldn't trade him for none of that, because when you look around the NFL and you look at receivers and you see the ones, the top-ranked ones, there's a lot of other stuff that comes along with that. And, you know, teams deal with you when you're that guy because you're talented. You ain't got to worry about all that with Julio. You know what I mean? Coming in and Brinks trucks or driving, you know, coming into camp, you know, making it all about him. That's a rare quality to have. And that's why I cannot stress enough, man, like to have a guy on that team like that, that's a great thing to have. Not throwing shade on anybody who does anything the way that they do it. That's not what I'm doing. But when you talk about legacy and leaving something behind and you know, teaching somebody and uplifting other cats on your team, that's what Julio does. He is trying to make sure that when he's done playing, that he leaves a little bit of himself here with the guys that are here. And that's what he's doing. That's why I would take him over anybody.
Talking a little bit about the franchise's best wide receiver ever, and that's Julio Jones. I mean, for a franchise that had some great ones, Alfred Jenkins back in the day was a great wide receiver. And for a brief period of time, Billy White Shoes Johnson was tremendous, Wallace Francis, and certainly Roddy White. We're not going to leave out Roddy, of course. But really, if you think about it, Julio's the best in the history of the franchise, and he still has a chance to add to these totals over the next few years once he gets his new contract, some of the numbers that are just going to cement him in that Ring of Honor, the Hall of Fame, and whatnot. Julio talking yesterday, more than just some people to the reporters, about the fact that, and that came up because Julio is, he's dressed, but he's not working out right now. And Julio's talking about the reason he's not working out at the moment.
For me, it's just getting acclimated, coming back out, running full speed, or doing full speed cuts. Don't want to chance anything, you know, since I've been, you know, just taking my time to get back in the swing of things. But I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go. He's talking about his foot. Yeah. And Dan Quinn saying he probably about 10 days before he's back up to full practice.
Man, listen, that's like I said, don't worry about Julio. I think about all these guys, man. And I think, like, and to be funny, when you mention Roddy White's name, it really started with him. And you talk about Harry Douglas, guys like that. Shout out to Kenfolk. The work ethic that they have and the respect that they have for these guys is something that I played with some pretty decent receivers. And, you know, these guys, they're a different breed, no question about that. And, like, I'm not trying to say that anybody's way that or method that they do things is better than anybody else's. But just out there yesterday with Harry Douglas, and you know, we were talking to Devontae Freeman, and the respect that Devontae had for Harry, not only because of the player that he was when he was here, but the work ethic. And that's one of the one things that he said that really jumped out to me, man. He was like, yeah. Free said something to the effect, I remember when you told me, Harry, to, you know, work a little extra, do a little extra work. He said, and I still do that to this day. That's what it's about, man. It's about leaving a little bit of yourself on the field so that it can carry on a little bit. Whatever you do, you leave a little bit of yourself. And you could tell that receiver core, when Roddy was here, Harry and those guys, that was a special group. And so now Julio is trying to give back some of the same things that was given to him to these young guys. You can see that. That's a special trait, man, and that's the main reason why I would never trade a guy like Julio. Never trade him for in a million. I don't care who else does what or whatever, because I feel like I know him and I see him every day and I see the work ethic. So, no, I wouldn't trade him for nothing in the world.
We are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch today, day 4. Beautiful day for practice. Beautiful day around Atlanta as the Falcons get ready to they'll practice in pads again today. We're talking a little bit about the impact of Jet Jones on this offense and what he expects this year. Of course, Julio came up, you know, as a rookie out of Alabama and a young player, played a little bit under Dirk Cutter and is now reunited with Dirk Cutter as his offensive coordinator. And he was asked about what Dirk brings to this offense.
Dirk is amazing. He's going to put us in great situations. He's going to be aggressive. He knows the personnel, as far as me and Matt for sure, what we can do together, the way we can attack people. The knowledge we have, and, you know, just being accountable in situations that we're going to get the job done.
Yeah, so Dirk Cutter coming back. Everybody that you speak to who had any association with Dirk Cutter, Hugh, prior to this, you know, not only the respect they have for him as a, you know, former head coach in Tampa and what he was able to do in terms of building that offense, but they're welcoming him back in here, and there seems to be a real, you know, not just an air of confidence, but an air of comfort around Dirk Koetter. So if you had to make a change to that position, boy, there's just no way you could have made a better change according to the players so far in this camp.
Yeah, man. I mean, it feels like, you know, it's a homecoming for Dirk to a certain extent, and guys are comfortable with him because they feel like he's going to make them better. I mean, and that's what it's all about, John. It's about trying to get better. It's about being better. It's about getting that ultimate goal, man, because, like, listen, even though guys don't say it a whole lot, guys are trying to get back to that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. They're trying to win that because now, you know, you're getting all the money. You got the money. Now it's time to get that legacy. You're working on that legacy now. You're trying to get that thing that's going to cement you in immortality with everybody else.
Yeah, some of the storylines from camp are starting to pop up here. We're certainly seeing guys focus in on the offensive linemen. And coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we're going to hear from the number one pick, Chris Lindstrom. Dukes and Bell talk to him, and we'll have his thoughts on his first few days of official training camp. We'll do that. Also, to the other side of the football, you were talking about standing with Jarvis yesterday, Jarvis the producer, and talking about, you know, Jarvis played college ball too.
He
played at Albany State. He played offensive line. So you guys are discerning things, and you were watching some of the line play, and the reports were, you know, and again, I'm kind of broadly watching, and I wasn't really focused in on 44, but some of the reports are that for all the talk about Vic Beasley skipping OTAs, that he seems to have come into this training camp with kind of a renewed purpose, and maybe that's partly Dan Quinn challenging him or whatnot. Have you seen anything yet from 44 that you would notice about Vic? Has that popped out to you at all? About Vic, is anything really nothing popped out? Or can you tell that?
Like, John, it's hard to tell. It really is. It's funny when you ask me that question. It's not like I'm not throwing shade. I know somebody probably in the car thinking I'm throwing a little shade. It's not. It's like I'm taking things that I saw with a grain of salt, being that it's the first day of padded practice. And the funny thing about that is you start out with great momentum in the morning, like you do when you first out there, John. It's awesome. Like you're flying around, you're excited. It's a little different when you've been out there with those pads on. You got to get adjusted a little bit. So I will just say I think that guys are adjusting to wearing the shoulder pads right now. I think that's what you're seeing a little bit. But as far as the way he looked good. He looks fast. He's coming off the corner. He's coming off the corner really, really crisp. And, that's about it.
Yeah, I know. No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, in terms of being able to – I'm just saying what other people would be – that's why it wasn't
No, I got you. I got you. But like I said,
let me take the other side. I get what you're saying. But you could tell when a player comes into camp who is, you know, not in shape and not ready.
Oh, no, he's ready to play. He's in shape. No, he's definitely in shape. He's definitely in shape.
You know, because there was some question about that with him not being here for OTAs.
Oh, no, he's in shape. He's definitely in shape. He's in shape.
All right. So we've established that part of it,
yes.
Right? Okay. I know you look at us media types sometimes. You go, these guys, what are they looking at the first day of batting practice?
No,
well,
it's like this, and that's why I really don't have a lot to say because it's nothing really to say. You know what I mean? It's practice, and you can't glean a whole lot from practice. And I don't want to sit here and say something that somebody's going to take and run with, you know, because it's the first day of practice. You know, it's not like I'm trying to be, you know, hide anything or withholding evidence or withholding evidence like I'm in court or something. But no, withholding information or anything like that. It's just that it's hard to tell on the first padded practice. That's it. I saw some guys out there flying around, but some guys are better practice players than they are, you know, than other guys. And you know, being a guy who played that really wasn't a great practice player, who only wanted to focus on one aspect of the game, it would be unfair. I think it would be unfair to go out here and get on the radio and say, well, he didn't do this or he didn't do that. I got, you know, give him time to get acclimated. But as far as being in shape and being fast off the corner, he's definitely that.
All right. Well, I think everything you said is absolutely fair. But, again, we're just trying to find stuff to talk about because we are – it's natural for us.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it.
This guy did this didn't do that.
And this is me being – this is me being a responsible radio host and not just saying something off of a small sampling size. That's what I'm doing.
Well, the small sampling size of Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, what are they going to bring to this offensive line? It's a big question. If this offense is to rise up and fly high again like it did with the record-smashing year of 2016, those rookies are going to have a big impact, why they were drafted in round number one. And Lindstrom spent some time talking about his experience so far with Dukes and Bell. We have that interview, and we're going to bring it to you next as we continue our coverage. Day four of Falcons training camp, live from Flowery Branch. On your home with the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the Game at 92onthegame.com.
I hoped it would look like it did, where it felt normal, like in all their other functions that they've done. So I thought Chris all along has been really improving. And I had told him there'll be some on-the-job training, and maybe some of the guys who've been through that as rookie starters can share that. But what I do know about those two is their attitude to go after it. Get me on the court
and I'm troubled. But I might mess around and go 3,000, if you know what I'm talking about. Freaking brothers every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day. 2,000. How about that? Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Live coverage from AT&T Falcons training camp. What will that offense do this season under Dirk Koetter? And a lot of that, Hugh Douglas, is going to be dependent upon, well, I actually, now that I start to think about it, maybe all of it is dependent upon the offensive line, because you know everybody else is going to do their job.
Yeah, I mean, the receiving core, the skill position guys, it's just that if you give Matt time to do what he does, mm-hmm. what he does.
How about that offensive line? Numerous, we talk about five big changes in Jamon Brown, James Carpenter, and Ty Zambrello all getting contracts. Two of those guys, free agents to come in here and fight for starting positions, and two first-round draft picks in Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom. Lindstrom, certainly the number one pick for the Atlanta Falcons, the young star guard out of Boston College. Dukes of Bell caught up with Lindstrom to talk about what his camp is like and the transition from the excitement of draft night to getting to work.
You know, it's amazing. I just love being with these guys and love being an Atlanta Falcon, and together we just keep getting better every single day. And I just try and come out here, have a plan to do, and really we do as a unit have a plan to do. And it's that same feeling of excitement and joy of being drafted. It's really that same feeling, but it's turned towards football now. And so I just love getting better at football and love being part of a team. And so that's really still the same feeling, just channeled into a different direction.
Mike, he still got it.
These Boston College guys, I tell you what, if you're coming to Falcons practice, he's wearing 63, by the way, and he looks like he's been here a while. The speed of practice, first day in pads, what's the biggest difference?
Just getting used to the physicality. I think it's definitely adjustment not coming off of no pads, but you just prep so much and work so much, and we're constantly working all the time and walkthroughs and practice. And so just everything preparing for the next moment. And so whatever we're asked to do that day, just trying to maximize it and be the best out of it and make the most of all of our opportunities.
Coach Quinn has told us that he feels like you're at a place where you need to be. What's that mean for you? I mean, we're watching and we're seeing, you know, first team, second team. I don't know if that means anything at this point, but your progression from, you know, coming in and trying to learn the playbook and minicamp to where you are now.
I'm just trying to stay focused in the now, and so that's just getting better every single day at what I need to do to help our unit and together so we can be a great offensive line, and just handling my role and try and master it and be on top of everything that's asked of me and try and be a true master of the offense, and we keep working on the technique every single day.
Are they having you play multiple positions out here? I mean, we're trying to see as much as we can. Are you playing a little of some different positions?
I'm only playing right guard right now, but I'm trying to learn everything. And so the more you can do, the better it is, and trying to be the more helpful for the team, and the better we are together, the more I can do.
It is Chris Lindstrom with his guys, Falcons guard, number 63 here as we're live at Falcons practice. So for the listeners at home, we talk about the zone blocking scheme. How would you describe what the Falcons are doing?
We're just trying to run off the ball and really come off hard and really fit our runs and accelerate and finish. And so that's what we're really trying to do in the zone. And we're just trying to get better together in every single run and master whatever the details of that play is to master it. And that's a great opportunities of camp and walkthrough and constantly in meetings, is that you're able to hone in on all your abilities and really target it and focus it towards whatever the play is.
From the OTAs, mini camp, the schematics, the play call, how much different is that from BC? Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. Same, similar stuff. It's just getting used to the calls and the landmarks and everything, and just transitioning from that. And like, kind of, I thought of it the other day, just like that is completely deleted from my brain. And it's just all Falcons right now, and it's just so great. And I'm thankful to be here, and I just love being a part of this team, and love learning and getting better every day.
So has Matt made you sing the fight song?
No, not yet, but I'd be ready. I'd be ready for sure.
So how quickly did you get acclimated here in Atlanta? We talked to you right after draft day. So you find a place? What's going on?
Yeah, I found a place just right down the road, and I absolutely love it here. I love the city, and, you know, my girlfriend and my family have come down a whole bunch. And, you know, I went down to the aquarium, the World of Coke.
What'd you think?
Loved it. Loved it. The aquarium was the coolest thing ever. You know, with the when you go under the tank Oh, man, that was cool.
So what was your favorite critter?
I'd say the beluga whales.
Okay.
Those things were cool. Just watching them come around, and then they'd bang up against the glass. I thought, that's a pretty good life they got going on right there.
Yeah, and they're big, too. It's Chris Lindstrom, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. So, at BC, because we hear this all the time, he's a BC guy. What was your GPA?
My GPA was a 2.5. Not the best. Not the best, but you had to work hard at it. You know, you put a lot of hours in a class, and so the big thing is that the education is really important there, and it's something that we take a lot of pride in, and the school does. And for being a football player, you know, you're taking the same classes as regular students at a top 25 college in the country, and so that education is really valuable. And for all the players that graduate out of there, and faith, family, and football is really what they try and promote, and just trying to carry that and be a BC man on and off the field.
So real quick, that doesn't mean anything, guys, because do you know what you scored on your Wonderlic?
I don't. I think it was like 29 out of 30 or something like
that. Yeah, like you missed one question.
The question I have for any of us who suffer through parochial school, are the Jesuits still tough at the college level?
Oh, for sure, for sure. So we have that well-rounded education is for sure. Philosophy, theology, everything. Yep, for sure.
All right, Caleb McGarry, man, we got to ask, how's that bonding been? I mean, you guys come in together. We think, don't tell anybody, we think you guys should be starting on the O-line together when this thing rolls around. But that's our opinion. How has he and your relationship evolved?
Caleb and I have a great relationship, and you guys know, and through seeing it so far. And the more time we get to spend with each other, it just keeps developing and growing. And same with all the other rookies. You know, we're spending so much time with those guys, and we're really loving each other. You know, the five of us, we go and we'll sit, and we'll have dinner and lunch and constantly working. Like, we'll go sit in the sauna with each other at night. Like, it's a really cool thing, and I just love being a part of a team and all of these guys and watching. You know, you're really happy when, like, yourself, you grow and you work on stuff, but then, like, you care for your brother next to you. And so when you see that guy doing well and getting better, I mean, it really makes you happy. Like, man, that guy's works is paying off for him, and it's happy because we're getting better together.
It is Chris Lindstrom with us, guys, one of the new Falcons guard from Boston College with us on Dukes and Bell. You always hear about the dynamic of the offensive line, how it's always the tightest group on a football team. Alex Mack, 11 years in the league. Jake Matthews, Data Hall of Famer. So does that just – the chemistry just happens overnight, or it's going to build that through time?
You definitely got to build it. Those guys are obviously, like we've talked about, they're a great resource, and so building that trust is great. And then, you know, you start to open up with each other on a personal level, especially during camp. You know, we're spending literally like 12 hours, 15-hour days together, so you really start to connect on a personal level, and it's really cool, really, really cool.
But right now you're still a rookie.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm really thankful to be at this program because they really treat us with a ton of respect and really, really try and get us right. And there's like no hazing at all. I mean, these guys just, we want to be great together as a team. And the best thing for that is for them to help us and us to be accountable to them. And I'm really thankful for that. It's a really special environment.
Chris, is Caleb kind of crazy?
He's a different dude, man. He's awesome, though. He's awesome. He's that good kind of crazy. He's that crazy that you want.
We've been saying we need a little bit of that, so I just wanted to double check with you.
This is kind of like you got the button-down BC guy, you got the guy from out west. It's like Tango and Cash, basically.
Yeah, he's great. Absolutely love him, man, and he's working really hard.
A little bit crazy is a good thing, though, isn't it, Chris Lindstrom? A lot expected out of this guy as a rookie, as a starting guard for, because, you know, all the reports, you locked in as the starting guard already as the number one pick. And that's a tall task for an offensive lineman to come in and be a starter and a star right off the jump. So let's hope he is.
Yeah, but he's playing a position where, you know, he'll have some help on both sides of him, and it should be an easy transition for him. And plus, they're just asking him to come out there and move the crowd, you know, be a role grader. That's basically what he's going to be. He's going to go out there, and they're going to try to establish his run early.
You know, one of the things we're going to talk about, Flowery Branch, remainder of the show, and, of course, you can always jump in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 on our Twitter, is something that John Chuckery, Bulldog Chuckery, brought up last night, and that is a question he had to you about Chris Lindstrom and about McGarry and about this team. Would you rather be back to being an elite offense, or would you rather have an elite defense if you could only pick one of the two?
I'm a defensive guy. I would probably say I want an elite defense. I want a defense that I know that can go out there and impose their will at any given time. That's what I would definitely want. Somebody that's going to go out there and just be intimidating. It's nothing. To me, there's no better feeling as a defender knowing that the offense that you're going against, they know what you can bring to the table even before you even played it down, and they have a little anxiety about that. Yeah, I definitely would want an elite defense over an elite offense all day.
Even in this day and age where you have
especially in this day and age. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, John, there's so much emphasis and so much, so many rules are going towards making these offenses dynamic and prolific that, you know, and I get that because, you know, even Rich McCabe mentioned it that earlier this week when we talked to him talking about how, you know, if the star quarterbacks aren't playing, how the league kind of declines a little bit. But when you have those elite defenders that intimidate those star quarterbacks, I just think that's the best thing in the world. I like that because they get so many accolades anyway. So, for me, it would be nice to knock him down a couple pegs.
There was a time way back in the day when a youngster named Jerry Glanville first popped on the scene as a coach for the Falcons, Hugh, and they had the greatest defense ever assembled in the history of the NFL and for one season when they set the record, 129 points allowed in a 14-game season. That was the Grit Splits in 1977. But they had no offense, even with Steve Barkowski. They had no offense in that team. That team, they won. They lost a game 3-0. They won a game 7-0. I mean, it was kind of painful to watch. But that defense was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but in this day and age, if you have an elite defense like that, and you have offenses still trying to stay in their bag and throw the ball as much as they can, it'll be an opportunistic defense, and they'll have some opportunities out there to make some plays and score some points. That's how I kind of look at it.
Yeah, interesting conversation there that Chuckery brought up last night. If you had one of the two, and only have one of the two. Well, we are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. If you come by and the gates open in an hour, do register. We're drawing today for a Tony Gonzalez signed football. So just come by where we're at, and you can go to the tent. It's free to sign up. Just register, and somebody's going to walk away from camp today with a Tony Gonzalez signed football. So if you're coming out to Flowery Branch, make sure you come by our tent because, again, just put your name down, throw it in the hopper, and you may walk away from camp today with a Tony Gonzalez signed football and pick up some of the free swag that we have here too. That's at our position as you come up the hill. You'll see us on the left. You can't miss us with the big stage. Come sign up for the Tony Gonzalez football if you're headed to Flowery Branch today in the free drawing for that item. When we give access to the rundown, News World.
Yes, well, I'll talk about some stuff where, you know, on social media that happened yesterday that had me thinking a little bit. And, by the way, I've been pretty good on social media. We'll talk about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Before I get started with my Hughes world, I want to give a shout-out to the Philadelphia Eagles for hiring Catherine Raich. She is football operations coordinator there. And that's one of the that's the latest high-profile hire for a woman in the NFL. So I want to give a shout-out to them.
Well, congratulations to her.
Yeah, she got a nice little job. No kid. Yeah, but this is what I want to talk about, man. I just want to talk about social media as a whole. And kind of – I had a little bit of an epiphany last night. It was for a number of reasons. But I want to say that I have been doing good on social media. It's been almost 2 weeks, and I've had no Twitter beef. And this is the reason why – I've had no Twitter beef because, number one, I mean, really, when you really think about the grand scheme of things, it's only a small sampling size of things that people say about you or know about you that can really get under your skin because they don't know you as a whole. Kind of like the same thing we were talking about this morning with Julio Jones and who would you take over Julio Jones and knowing a little bit more about Julio Jones than, say, the average national reporter would know because I'm here every day
right.
And things of that nature. So I feel like I have an opportunity to know him a little bit better than most people do. And another thing that I came to epiphany about, John, is that everybody doesn't see things the same way that you do. And no matter what you say or how you present it, somebody's going to always interpret it a different way than what you see it. You know, and that's what brings me to what I want to talk about, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's under a lot of fire this morning for doing something that we deemed as kind of innocent, but for a lot of other people, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, I think this was on Good Morning America the other day. Tom Brady posted a video yesterday of him and his daughter basically going there. I guess they were swimming, and they were jumped into a little, you know how you just jump off a little cliff, mini cliff.
A swimming hole, right?
Yeah, a swimming hole. And people went in on Tom Brady about bad parenting and about how he almost broke his little girl's arm and all this other stuff.
Yeah, because it looked like she didn't want to jump and he had her hand. And
see, and that's the thing.
Her.
See, and that's the thing. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about, John, because to me, it looked like she was going to go, like she was about to jump, and she kind of was hesitant. And he, when she did it, she prompted him to move, and he moved, and he just kept his momentum, just took them both. But the thing that really got me was now people are going in on Tom Brady talking about that's a bad parenting move and how stupid and dangerous it was for cliff jumping and all this other stuff. Cliff jumping.
cliff jumping. It was like 8 feet.
Yeah, I looked at it, and I looked at that, and I was just like, wow, it's amazing. Tom Brady, they got like, what, six million followers on his Twitter feed. And in his mind, he's giving you, like, he's trying to show you a side of him that you never really see from Tom Brady. Like, you're seeing Tom Brady, the man, playing with his child, having a moment with his daughter. That, like, if some parents would really call that a teaching moment. Like, hey, you know, you can't be afraid, take chances, all the whatever, however metaphor you want to spit for that, because just like I said, people see things differently. They see the way that they want to see it. But this dude is getting raked through the coals. And people are talking about they need to do something about this and yada, yada, yada.
What are you going to do about it? I mean.
Call the parenting police.
Oh, come
because,
on.
Because, I mean, but listen, John, that's the way the world works today. And that's why I was like, you know, with social media, I have to do a better job. And I have for the last couple
weeks.
Are
you going to win your thing with Randy Mack?
John, can I finish this part first? And I'm going to get right back to that because this is something that really kind of got me going a little bit. Yes, and I am going to – but I think I'm going to win that. Yeah, I'm definitely going to win that. But it's like this. We have to, as radio hosts and people that do the job that we do, we have to use Twitter for exactly what it is. It's a way for us to reach our fans and give our opinions and, you know, just kind of keep out of – try to keep it above board as much as you possibly can because it can get kind of crazy out there because people don't see things the same way that you do. Just like that Tom Brady thing. And another thing that happened yesterday when – I forgot the guy who tweeted it out, but he was talking about Adrian Peterson. And he was talking about the money that he made over the years and how he can't see how Adrian Peterson could be broke and all this other stuff. That's another thing. People are going to have an opinion about things that we don't really have all the background about. And you can never change a person's opinion about anything. So the best thing to do for us is just to use social media for what it is. And you know, hopefully, you know, people won't judge you too harshly for it. Because it is a good tool to have, but at the same time, it can be the devil. Okay, now back to your Randy Mack thing. Yes, Randy Mack, if you're listening, you're about to lose this bet. Because I've on Twitter, I haven't had any beef. I haven't had anything that anybody has said negative to me. I have not retaliated in the way that I normally retaliate. I haven't said anything negative about anybody's mama, wife, sister, girlfriend, or cousin. None of that. I've done pretty good with that. So I'm pretty proud of myself on that front.
Yeah, because you got to stay out of the cesspool. I mean, I just tweet about sports, a little bit about my life, and about the stock market mostly, and real estate, of course. But outside of that, I mean, because Twitter can drag you down into that hole pretty quickly.
Well, it's another thing that I was always told, too. Common sense isn't common. That's the truth. And people are looking, like a lot of people look the way they look through things through an ivory tower, and they cannot fathom certain things that happen. You know, just like I said, the whole Adrian Peterson thing. It's a lot of people out there who, you know, will probably never. I've never seen $100 million, and can't fathom how a person can lose that. I mean, it's unfathomable. No question about that. It is, but it happened. I don't know how much money he's lost. I don't know how he was spending his money. Even though somebody did put up there, he was riding on a camel one time, which I don't really understand why he was doing that. But somebody put that up there. But things happen. And you know, like I said, you just have to use Twitter for the medium that it is. That's all I got on that, man.
Yeah, this Tom Brady thing, I guess, you know what, mad Jets fans or something? I mean,
no, I think it's just mad parents in general. And it kind of harkened back to a few years ago when the young lady, I think she did some, I can't remember the story exactly, but a young lady did some time. For pushing her friend, not a whole lot of time, but she pushed her friend
off the bridge,
and right. She had to have surgery and all that. She was jacked up behind that because she pushed off the bridge. it kind of reminded me a little bit of that. So yeah, I mean, you know, you got to be careful what you put on social media too, because it'll get you jammed up.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, if you haven't seen the Brady video, it's all over me. And to me, he's jumping into a swimming hole with his daughter, but apparently, she didn't want to jump, and he yanked her arm. And,
oh yeah, they went in on time. Yeah, they went in on time.
You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, the lesson here isn't for Tom Brady and jumping into a swimming hole. It's for Tom Brady not to post anything, I guess.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, and it's like you can't, like, you talk about guys like that, you can't have it both ways. You can't – people want to know you, but then when they get to know you, they tend to judge you. So you have to be very careful about how you handle Twitter.
About 40 minutes from now, the gates are going to open on day four for the fans to come in and watch the Falcons practice. As you do, come by our position and go to our tent next to us and sign up for free. Just put your name down. We're going to be drawing for a Tony Gonzalez autographed football today at our position here in Flowery Branch. When we get back in a moment, another rookie. What does Quadri Olison offer to this team as a running back, and what kind of an impact can he have on the Atlanta Falcons? You and I talked to him. We'll bring you that interview next as our coverage of the AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp continues live from Flowery Branch on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.